This week on Triangulation, I get to sit down with a good friend of mine and an awesome app developer, Todd Moore. You may have heard of his app, White Noise. Check it out.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
This is Triangulation, episode 416, recorded Friday, September 27th, 2019, Todd Moore. This episode of Triangulation is brought to you by Capterra. Find the right tools to make an informed software decision for your business. Visit Capterra's free website at capterra.com/triangulation. Hello, everybody. I am Ant Pruitt. Hope you're doing well. I'm unbelievable as always. This is Triangulation on twit.tv. Thank you all for hopping in and joining us today. This is the show where we sit down with some of the most interesting thought leaders and innovators in the world of technology. And I have the pleasure of hosting this show for the very first time. Hopefully I'm not going to trip up and screw things up, but I have Mr. Todd Moore here with me today to lead me through and guide me through this and keep me safe. How you doing, Mr. Moore?
I'm doing really good. Thanks for having me on, Ant.
It's my pleasure. It's my pleasure. I've known Todd for a handful of years now. He's been a great friend over the years. I've learned a lot from him. And when I was given the opportunity to sit down in this big chair, he was one of the first people to come to my mind, and I said, hey, let's share Todd's story, because what you folks see on the screen in the lower third is toddmoore.com, but it's a little bit bigger than that. You know, he's being a little bit modest, but we'll go ahead and get started. So, Todd, let's go ahead and just allow you to introduce yourself and give us a little bit of background on who you are and what is toddmoore.com, or better yet, what is TM Soft?
Yes. So I'm a software developer first. I'm a coder. I write code every single day. I think I'd get depressed if I didn't. It's what I do. In 2008, I started a company to create mobile apps, and it was kind of just a side gig at the time. Mm-hmm. And it kind of blew up into something bigger than I ever imagined. Created a few apps that did fairly well in the App Store, and was able to hire employees and bootstrap the whole thing. Goodness.
Now, see, you said it started out as a side gig. So what were you doing in addition to that? You know, I'm assuming you wasn't out just delivering newspapers to people. What were you doing?
No, I wasn't delivering newspapers. I was working in cybersecurity at the time. I was really, since graduating college, get a computer science degree, I was working in the forensic space, building tools to monitor for hackers and bad guys on the internet.
Right.
And, you know, packet capturing and writing the software to do analysis of what it, in turn, is a huge data set, which is something I really enjoy. I love solving very difficult problems. And when you're talking about network packets, there's just a ton of data, and to be able to analyze that in real time was something that I was primarily focused on at the time. And then I had a great idea. Let's, you know, try building an app over the weekend, and kind of changed everything going forward.
Yeah, now this app that he's talking about, folks, that he's alluding to, it is White Noise. And I know just about everybody in that chat room at one point in time has had some sort of a white noise app installed on their mobile devices. And I got a hunch it's probably been from Todd and TM Soft. Now, that app, is safe to say it changed your life, right?
Yeah, it definitely changed a lot of things, because at the time, I only spent a couple days developing the code. And
right.
I think the mistake, or the mistake I didn't make, was I didn't think anybody would want it.
Oh.
And so I ran around the house. I recorded a bunch of sounds, like my HVAC and the crickets chirping in the backyard.
Yep.
And I just kind of put them all together in an app and figured out how to loop the audio so you wouldn't be able to detect it was looping. That was really the hardest part of the whole app at the time.
Right.
And again, I didn't think anybody would want it. So I was like, I'm just going to put it up for free.
Yeah, let's just put it in the App Store.
Yeah, for free, which, you know, I guess at the time that was, a lot of people were doing paid apps. You had to choose between paid and free. And I didn't think anybody would download it. I was going to use it for myself, put it up for free, and then it shot up and became the number one app on the App Store. And that's when the emails started coming.
Of course. Now, see, I'm an Android person. There's no secret about that. But I remember hearing about White Noise. I believe it was like Good Morning America. It was some big TV show. And something said I needed to hop on over and see if I could find this on my side of things. So you were able to put it together for both iOS and Android. Now, back in the days when we were having to develop apps for iOS and Android, it was a big story of going from a Nexus device to some LG device. Fragmentation was the word that they used. So what was that experience like for you being a developer? You know, it was so much easier to develop on iOS, I'm sure. What were some of your pitfalls and battles when trying to compare iOS to Android?
Yeah, that's a great question. A lot of the Android devices at the time, and I got in pretty early. I got in around Android 1.5.
Ooh, man.
And so
way back.
And I'm just so glad none of my apps support version 2 anymore. That took forever to get off Android, 2.0 or 2.x. Mm-hmm. It was tough because, in comparison to those early devices, the iPhone was almost like coding toward a PC in the fact that, you could use a lot of the memory on there, and you could kind of be a little bit more generous with RAM. And at the time, I was targeting all the platforms. So you want to talk about a really bad platform. I was on BlackBerry as well.
BlackBerry, that's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
And I remember it was so difficult to get my app down to, I think I got it down to 2 megabytes, which was just insane. Because there just wasn't a lot of storage on those devices. So here comes this iPhone first gen, and you had, 8 gigs of storage. And for a developer point, you could allocate 40 megs of memory. So it was definitely a smartphone that was a lot easier to develop for. Mm-hmm. And it made it, and because there was only one at the time, it made it much easier to support than the whole slew of Android devices that came out.
Yeah. Now, I'm going to circle back just a little bit, because you decided to develop an app just over the weekend because you were essentially just chilling and bored that day. But what piqued your interest about, writing code for, whether it's a TRS-80 or what have you? What piqued your interest?
Yeah, I think it was that computer, actually, the old Trash 80 that got me addicted to... I mean, we used to have, as a kid, I was like 13, and we had a subscription to something called C-Load. And every month, you get shipped a cassette tape full of like games.
Right.
And I'm talking like Pong level games, black and white. And you'd put it into the cassette player, push play. It sounded like a fax machine. You just load in whatever game you wanted to play. It took like 10 minutes to load up the game. I started to get interested in programming at that point. How do you write these things? Mm-hmm. Which I think today, and even when I wrote a book, the only book I wrote, Tap, Move, Shake, was I wanted to kind of show you how to get into development, mm-hmm. and kind of the way I did, and that's like writing really basic video games, Pong. And so in the book, like the first chapter is we write Pong in less than 20 lines of code, which I think is a really cool exercise. And that's basically how I started as a kid, writing the video games. And me and my brother would submit them to C-Load to try to get into, this distribution platform of cassette tapes. Wow, how things have changed. And I guess when the App Store came around, I just got kind of that childhood excitement again. I was like, you could publish apps into this, and people can download them directly to their device very easily. And that's why I just started to write apps for that platform. I wanted to see what the experience was like.
But White Noise, why not develop a newfangled calculator or something? What sent you down that path? Because you had different games out there, and you had some type of productivity apps that were trying to take over the market share. So why did you decide to go white noise? Is it because it was just totally out there and you didn't necessarily think anybody wanted to mess with it? And what was the reasoning behind that?
Well, I always slept to like a bedroom fan, and I thought that was kind of silly because it was in the fall, it was a little chilly out. And so I've always slept to a bedroom fan. I've always felt it was, I would always get better sleep. I didn't understand it, but mm-hmm. I'd always just flick on a fan because I knew I'd get a better night's sleep. And so that's what initially I was like, well, I wonder if I can record this and then create an app that just loops all night the same sound. And I wonder if the iPhone speaker was, loud enough. Right. And it turns out it was, and it worked great. We had to do but at the time it was just me. So, independent developer. And so I was able to get it to loop, as long as the battery would last. And, that was it. It was really just a simple concept.
So there was no research behind, why is this sound making me go to sleep so well versus not having it? You just, this sounds good. I think I'm making out for that.
Yeah. And my brother at the time was a big fan of Pink Noise, and he introduced me to that. That's what he used.
Okay.
And I got interested in that. I was like, what is Pink Noise? Right. What is this? What is white noise? What is pink, brown blue, noise, purple? And eventually I started, working on the algorithms to generate those sounds. I found that to be a little bit fascinating. And even today, I'm like, my go-to sound is brown noise.
Right.
And that's just my favorite. It sounds like a waterfall.
When I dove into white noise and the ecosystem, if you will, I had noticed that you had the ability to let the users of the app upload their own sounds. And beyond that, those sounds could be shared and published for other people. What was your thinking behind that? Were you just trying to build a community, because communities is what helps apps grow, or what was your thought on that?
Yeah, I wish I had that kind of thought where I was like, oh, this will be good. What it really came from, I was getting tired of all these emails going, can you add this sound? I want this sound. I want crickets that I grew up with back in the country.
Right.
And I'm like, I'm not going to fly out there and record that. And that's kind of where the idea came from. It's like, maybe we could use the microphone on these devices, record that audio, and then create an algorithm to then loop it. And the share that came first, and then sharing, came much later.
Nice.
But it was a fun, challenging little project. But nothing I've ever done has ever been from my own personal research. It's just been, I think this would be fun to do. I'm going to give it a try.
And see, that says a lot. I'm a content creator. I'm sitting here in the most beautiful podcast studio. And when I'm not here, I'm constantly just thinking about different types of content to create, whether it's photography or videography or writing or what have you. And I find that my best work comes out of when it's just coming from my heart. It's just my passion and curiosity, not necessarily planning it out. And that's pretty much what you just said. You had a passion about it and said, let's just do this.
Yeah, I think you do your best work when it's not really motivated by money or anything else. It's just something you really enjoy doing.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, every project that I thought, hey, this could make a lot of money, it made zero money. So, and the ones that I didn't think anyone would care about, those have always been the better projects. So,
that's,
I guess, if you're
the lesson learned right here in the world of app dev, right? Just do it because you want to do it, not because you're trying to be rich.
And I think that, if you're looking for an idea and you're trying to come up with something, it's always better to, hey, what do I need in my own life that helps me? Those are the ideas that always seem to work best, the ones that I've done anyway.
Now that's fascinating, because I look at the likes of Apple, just to name a few. A lot of companies or software companies, they try to make something around a problem that they assume you have. And I've never really bought into that. Even though I use the voice assistants that we have out there today, I can't say that it's necessary for me to yell out to Siri or Google's assistant to turn off my lights when I can just go turn off the light.
Well, that's because you're not as lazy as me. That's the only way I turn off my lights is with my voice. I hate light switches. I have too many of them in my life.
Come on, man.
But that's funny you say that, because that's probably, I use my assistant for, you know, turning on and off lights and setting timers and alarms. And that's, mm-hmm. That's it. You know, it's pretty rare I do anything more complicated than that when, you know, it's amazing what these devices can do today.
Now, with all of this technology out there, have you and TMSoft decided to link in to assistance, things of that nature, whether it's Alexa or what have you?
Yeah. So we published a skill, I think it was last year, for Alexa. And it's a pretty interesting platform. It's got a lot of support. A lot of developers are using it. It's fairly easy to get up and going with your own skill. We did it for just for fun and put out a little free white noise app and just let it go for about a year. And then I looked at the bills that I was getting from like streaming costs, because these are just dumb devices. You have to stream the audio.
Right.
You can't install an app. And then like with white noise for the mobile app, it streams locally. So it doesn't cost, you know, you any bandwidth, and it doesn't cost, you know, me to then pay for those streams.
Right.
But so these are just dumb media players in the end. And it really started costing a lot of money, you know, and I started getting these $1,000 bills, and I'm like, wait a minute, something's got to give here. I got to shut this skill down, or I've got to ask for a little bit of money to help pay for it. But it definitely is a popular platform. And I think my strategy has always been to get in early on these platforms. And that's kind of been the secret to a lot of my success, is being there when the App Store first started, you know, getting my skill into the Alexa store early enough. And I try to do that whenever I think there's a platform coming out that is going to do really well.
Now, with, again, looking at existing technology, right now, all of the rave has been the XR platforms, AR, VR, and so forth. Facebook just recently announced a Horizon tool that they're getting ready to put out there in a while. We talked about it on This Week in Google just a couple of days ago. Be sure you guys go ahead and check that out. What are your thoughts with AR and VR? And do you see you and your company, you know, just sticking your toes in and seeing what happens?
Yeah, I think it's I got really excited about VR. Okay. I bought, you know, the first generation HTC headsets.
Yeah, I remember you got Vive. I was jealous of it.
Yeah. Oh, it's so great. And the problem with it is just, it was so complicated to set up, you know, and you got all these wires you're tripping over. Obviously, that's gotten a lot better, especially with the latest Facebook device they just put out. I think that's kind of was holding it back, how difficult it was to get up and running.
Uh-huh.
For me personally, we wrote like a VR app for fun using Unity, and it was pretty easy to get up and going. It only took us a couple weeks to build this little simulated environment. We were going to do like a white noise simulator where you could go into the woods and listen to like stream water flowing and things like that. So you not only hear these sounds, but you can kind of see them.
Get a visualization of it, of the source, if you will.
Yeah, so you can almost meditate to it.
That would be pretty neat. I still have one of those Google Daydream headsets, and I feel like I'm probably the only person on the planet that still puts that thing on and wear it, because I like watching Netflix on it or YouTube on it, because it really does. It'll isolate you from everything else in the room. At least it does for me. I put on a nice pair of headphones and slide that thing on and just fire up something and just watch Netflix or Hulu or whatever. And it really does just sort of take me away. And I could see something like white noise being right there with it, far as just separating you away from everything else and just letting you have that sort of a meditative time. You said you guys haven't published it. With the growth of AR and VR, you know, you think you guys will put it out there in the near future, or?
It's not really a high priority right now. Mm-hmm. If I see it take off, the platform, we'll probably put something out there. But it just hasn't been a high priority right now. You know, it's especially with right now, the focus is the mobile platforms. That's where we have the most traction, Android, iOS. And
right.
But I think if you were starting out as a developer, that could be a really good place to kind of get a foothold in, because it's still very early.
Now, you said when it takes off, quote unquote, what do you think it will take for AR and VR to take off? Is it just the complicated devices? Is it a mix of everything? Because, again, you have these companies that are huge, you know, whether it's Microsoft or Facebook, they're throwing money at it and trying to put some products out there. What do you think is, you know, could be some of the tipping points to help this platform just really explode? Because I look at people playing that Pokemon game all the time, and then there's now a Harry Potter version out there, and that's all AR stuff. But if you ask the average person, they have no idea that this is AR. They just see, it's just a game.
Yeah.
You know, so
yeah, they're too busy playing Fortnite. You know, who's got time for VR when there's Fortnite out there? I think you kind of need that level. Like, you, if you create something, someone creates just an experience that is so amazing, and it just gets millions and millions of people excited about it. That's going to be the tipping point. Once you get that many people supporting this new platform. But right now it's just video games are kind of where it's at. And
they got to find the experience that just that latches people on, basically.
And I'm sure there's people that are just screaming at me right now, like, you have no idea what you're talking about. VR is so, and it is great. I really like VR.
Yeah.
And the great thing that has going for it is all the game engines are supporting these devices. So as a developer, I mean, it's not much more difficult. If you have a game, it's not much more difficult to kind of add in that piece. And so maybe that will be the bridge that brings more users over. We'll see. I think it's too early for me as a small business. But, you know, I have 5 employees. We have to kind of pick and choose our battles here. But it's not completely off the radar yet. And I do enjoy the experience, and it's very easy to develop for. So really just time and money is the only thing holding us back from kind of releasing it and polishing it up.
You said you had 5 people on the staff at TMSoft?
Yeah. That's awesome. We're very small.
Now, there's another app that I want to get into, but I'll talk about your podcast app later. So what are some of the other apps on your catalog, if you will? I know I've played, I believe it was Springer and Compulsive. Those were two of my favorite games. What are some of the other apps out there that our listeners and viewers could go and check out that you enjoy? Like, what's your top 3?
Of my own apps or other?
Of yours.
Of my own apps. Mm-hmm. So,
putting you on the spot, Todd.
I guess Compulsive is one of my favorites, and that's a game I spent a couple years building. And it got featured by LA Times. It got, there it is.
Yep.
It got featured in the Google Play Store and the Apple App Store. And I spent a few years making video games because, you know, it was kind of like my childhood experience brought back till today, and just really enjoyed it.
Right.
We're less focused on video games now, but Compulsives and Spill Zone and Springer, those are definitely some of my favorites.
Okay.
But we're really not focused on that anymore. But
what's the focus?
White Noise is the focus. Okay. That's the one that has millions of active users. And video games are tough. They're really tough. It's almost like, even though I was featured multiple times with like Compulsive, and I got hundreds of thousands of downloads a day when it was featured, you know, it's kind of like a movie. You put it out there, a bunch of people watch it, you get this huge spike, and then everyone goes on to the next thing.
Right.
So it's really hard to keep kind of the momentum going in the video game world. So that's why my focus has mostly been on White Noise, which is something that obviously helps people every night. And it's not really an entertainment, you know, app.
It seems like it could be pretty cyclical. I started thinking back to, what was it, Angry Birds. Was that the game that everybody loved back in the days?
Oh, yeah.
And it seemed like Angry Birds would not go away. And then all of a sudden it was like, poof, gone.
Yeah, I know. And it kind of, I mean, they created, they probably just made so much money, they all retired. But I mean, I was with them up until the, I guess, the space one, which was, the physics on that was incredible.
Yeah, I remember.
That was definitely one of my favorite games of all time.
Yeah, Angry Birds. But
it's just, you know, it's like a movie. You watch it, you play it, and you throw it away. And then on to the next thing.
Now, you talked about, you know, getting started and just putting it up there for free. With with app developers from 2008 versus right now in 2019, what advice would you give as far as putting your app out there for free or doing a in-app purchase or just flat-out pay? What are your thoughts on that?
I have a few thoughts. I would not do paid apps anymore.
Okay.
That is just such a barrier to entry. You want people to download your app, so make it free. And then you can either monetize it, you know, with advertising, which is really the easiest way. Uh-huh. I'd say if you're just trying to get something going, just put a banner ad in there. And, you know, if it gets popular, you're making money off of displaying and clicking of ads. So that's the easiest way, is just to put in an ad network. Other than that, you can do subscriptions, monthly, yearly subscriptions, if you're basically paying for content. And like you said, the in-app purchase is another one. But in-app purchase, I think, is more better suited for video games.
Okay.
Whereas the subscription model, there's just a lot of potential with that if there truly is a real value add to your app. So that would be my focus on free, give something away for free, let people experience, let people try it out, get them hooked on whatever feature it has, offer a premium feature through in-app purchase or subscription. And I think that's a really good model.
It's always funny to bring that up because people are, it's pretty polarizing when you think about it, because some people are on one extreme versus another. Some want that subscription model. Other people hate the subscription model.
Yeah.
And then you have some that they want the app, but they don't want the ads, but then they don't want to pay for it. And it's like,
yeah,
what are you going to do? You know, how you it, definitely it can't please everybody.
No, you can't do that. And that's the one thing I guess I've learned over the last 10 years is everybody wants it to be free. Nobody wants to pay and nobody wants to see ads. So what are you going to do? I'm still trying to figure that one out, how to make everybody happy.
We are talking to Mr. Todd Moore from TM Soft, a good friend of mine that I've known for several years now, a super duper successful app developer and just really crushing it out there. I really appreciate Mr. Moore coming on, but we're going to take a few minutes to thank one of our sponsors of Triangulation. This episode of Triangulation is brought to you by Capterra. Capterra is the leading free online resource to help you find the best software solution for your business. Do you ever dream of being more productive? Of course you do. Of course you do. Save your time and upgrade the way you work with the right software. Explore software and narrow down your favorite options in minutes with software guides and comparison tools. Start making your work be less work and find the right software for you. Go on to capterra.com/triangulation. With over a million reviews of products from real software users, discover everything you need to make an informed decision. And because you have all of those reviews out there, you get a validation that you can trust and be confident in your purchase. And now, once you go ahead and find your software, make sure you leave a review to help Capterra continue to be the leading online resource for software solutions. You can search for more than 700 specific categories of software, everything from digital workplace software to video management software. really doesn't matter what you're looking for. I'd like to take a look at stuff like data analytics, because data is so big and important for businesses today, regardless of your size. If you can understand the data that you have coming in and the data that you have going out, it can really help you capitalize on your day-to-day expenses and everything else to help your business run. Join the millions of people who use Capterra each month to find the right tools to get rolling with their business. Visit capterra.com/triangulation for free today to find the tools to make an informed decision for your business. That's capterra.com/triangulation. That's CAPTERRA.com/triangulation. Again, that's capterra.com/triangulation. Capterra, software selection simplified. Thank you for your support, Capterra. All right. Back to Mr. Todd Moore. Whoops, lost my notes there. Okay, so we talked about the ads versus subscription and getting folks started today. I want to take a look at your latest app, well, one of your latest apps. If people follow me on Twitter at @Ant_Pruitt, you'll see that I tweet out that I'm listening to a podcast, you know, and I'm listening to something here on the Twit Network or another favorite of mine, and I'm always using this app called PlayaPod. Now, Todd, you reached out to me, I don't know how long ago it's been, but you reached out and you literally said, hey, I've been working on a podcast app, you know, just in my free time. You know, let me know what you think. You were just so whatever about it, you know.
Yeah.
And I'm like, man, this app is great. It is great.
Well, and thank you.
You really don't push it. I believe your words to me is, you know, it's just a little project, passion project. I'm not trying to make money off of it, but let me know what you think. And I can't share it enough, Todd. So tell me a little bit about your experience with PlayaPod and what made you decide to take a look at it. Is it because podcast is the new medium of today?
It is. You're right about that. And there's so many apps that let you consume podcasts, and mm-hmm. you know, so you to convince someone to switch to your app is a tough sell,
right?
Especially when, you know, podcasting is pretty much baked into the Android, and you know, Google has their own, Apple has their own. So it was really a project I started because of frustration. Okay. And that frustration was, as someone who consumes a ton of podcasts, and I'm sure everyone listening is in that group,
right?
I got really tired of losing my place in the, like, if I accidentally fumbled with my device and it skipped to the next track, or it just went ahead, or I tapped somewhere on the progress bar by mistake, basically just making those kind of silly mistakes and going, where am I? How do I get back to what I was listening to?
Right.
That's all I wanted to solve. That was it. That was the problem. And I never understood why other apps didn't just show you like exactly every little mm-hmm. range that you've listened to on your progress bar. Like mm-hmm. I've listened to this, I've skipped over this, I've listened to that, I've bookmarked that. So that was just a simple, you know, idea that I wanted to implement, was this progress bar. And that's what kicked it off. And I'm really 2 years in. I really love this app, and I keep working on it. Mm-hmm. And it is a passion project, like you said. So mm-hmm. It's fun. I really enjoy it.
And as you said earlier, you get a lot of emails from people like with white noise regarding what sound they want to hear and features and things of that nature. I'm going to give you credit, because there were a time or two where I would email you directly in addition to emailing the support team and saying, hey, you know, you might want to consider A, B, C, or D. And in a timely manner, you and the team would work through these things and, you know, test it out and release it into the wild. And I'd get the update on the app and I'm like, oh, wow, they listened to me. You know,
well, what you don't know, Ant, is you're our only user. So you're right at the top of the queue whenever you ask for something. But And if you keep tweeting about it, I'm going to have to upgrade my server. I can't handle this kind of volume. Okay. But thank you so much for using the app. Your insights have been great. And it's a little project. Check it out.
Play a pod. Now let's take a look at some more of the tech news of today, if you will. And I'm gonna look back at your background with being in information security. Where do you stand today with regards to app developers out there? They're wanting to start a career developing an app, but sometimes that comes at the cost of the user, whether it's piggybacking off of contact information or other uses specific details on their phone. Google and iOS, they tried to put in tools to block permissions for different apps. Where do you stand when it comes to today's app development procedures and working with those different platforms and understanding the needs of the user and the consumer with data privacy that's out there?
Yeah, and that's a really good question, a tough question to answer. And as an app developer, especially an independent app developer, that's something you have to take really seriously.
It's a ton of money in data, yeah. And you could very easily just get sucked in being able to make more off of that data, right?
I guess so. That's something I've never focused on. In fact, it wasn't until recently I didn't even have logins. I didn't want your data. Like I don't want to have to be in charge of your private information. I don't want to sell it. I don't want to deal with it. I don't want to lose it. I don't want to get in trouble for having it. So for the first few years, I didn't have any kind of user data. And it was just about like sounds and creating content and less about, you know, having user accounts. Mm-hmm. Now, it's gotten, especially with Europe and the European Union, the GDPR, There's a lot of things you got to be careful about when you're dealing with user information, and you have to think that through. And it's almost a consideration where do you even want to support certain countries because of the rules that they have and the safeguards and we've ended up doing we have this like in PlayPod and White Noise, we do have these like user accounts that we put in recently. And my advice, as a developer, it's better not to roll your own solution when it comes to that. Mm-hmm. For example, we use Google Firebase a lot for user accounts. They make it really easy to create those sign-ins and they're in charge of holding that information. They know how to secure it. Mm-hmm. So that would be my recommendation for anyone starting out. Most of our apps now, we do use Firebase just because they give you so much for free. Like they have good crash analytics, mm-hmm. Which is extremely important, especially with Android. Right. We're constantly finding devices that for whatever reason they crash. And so it's a really good free service to get that. The other thing that they give you for free is cloud messaging. So push notifications, mm-hmm. things like that. They give you that for free. So we don't do a lot of push notifications. We do with like the podcasting side just because whenever new episodes are available. But that kind of thing, it's so easy to upset users. Not a lot of users like push notifications. And if they do have them enabled, they want them, to be relevant.
Right.
But anyway, that I would say check out Firebase because they just give you so much for free when dealing with that. And if you're going to have user accounts, I would recommend using them as a service or AWS. There's so many different options out there that can help with user authentication and account creation. But rolling your own, I don't know. I get a little nervous about doing that.
Mm-hmm. And again, I'm not saying you don't want to see any data or anything like that, because I'm pretty sure you're using some type of analytics to figure out what's hot in white noise, what's not in white noise, in addition to seeing what's, you know, what devices are crashing. Have you seen any specific trends in your data that says, you know what, maybe we should lean into to developing for this type of sound or this type of demographic or anything like that? Or is there anything along those lines that you care to share?
Sure. I mean, in terms of white noise, we do track, you know, the general trends. We don't really track, you know, which user is listening to what sound, but just the trends, what's popular, what's being downloaded the most, what's being listened to the most. And it's pretty like rain sounds, without a doubt, are the number one listened to sound. Everybody wants rain on something, like rain on a tent, rain on a tin roof, rain on a sidewalk, rain, heavy rain, extreme rain, rain going through leaves. I've done every rain sound I can think of. I mean, I still get asked.
And they're still coming.
They're still coming. Some about rain. Whenever it rains, I think the whole world just falls asleep instantly and no, it's done. But those are always been the most popular. The brown noise is very popular. If you haven't listened to that, it is kind of like a powerful waterfall. Pink noise is very popular too. And we actually published that on our website, like what the most popular, what the most downloaded sounds are. So it is pretty interesting. But yeah, it usually falls into water hitting some kind of surface in some way. Mm-hmm. Those are the most popular.
So in addition to being able to listen to these sounds on your devices, you can listen to it on the web, right?
We do have a web part of it where you can kind of preview, and we have a desktop app. Mm-hmm. The thing about white noise is, like, I've really ported it to every single platform I can think of. So it's on Mac Store, it's on, you know, the Windows Store. So we have a Windows version. We have, of course, iOS and Android, and they all kind of operate off of this this hub we've created that allows you to download new sounds for free. So that's what's been, for me, as a developer, that's what has kind of been rewarding, is being able to support all of these really popular platforms and provide, like, a very important, you know, feature set that's really helping people relax and sleep better. So you get that reward and you get those, you know, wonderful emails and it's coming from all of these different devices. So my strategy has always been, I want to be on every platform, and you know, that's what we've tried to do.
Okay. Yeah, I've also enjoyed using the PlayaPod podcast app on the web, because you, like you said previously, you're able to create a user account and sync back and forth, whether you're listening on your phone, and if I just want to head over here to the office and do a little work, I can pull my podcast up and it syncs exactly with where I left off and shows all of the little ticks and tacks of what I've skipped through. It's a pretty nifty feature and useful. I appreciate you
us. We implemented that with, you know, Firebase. They have this real-time database that they have, where it's really good for if you're going to do, like, you know, a chatting app where you're trying to get real-time comments coming through. We were using it mainly to do the syncing part of it. So as soon as you know, changed your media position, that gets synced directly to any other devices. And so that was, Firebase really does, you know, I sound like a Google shill right now, but it's, when you're an independent developer, that's a really good platform to get up and running on. Mm-hmm. And so that's, PlayaPod has been pretty much from the beginning, we built that whole syncing feature based on that platform. But lately, to be honest, we're moving some of those parts to our own database on our own server. And, you know, it's interesting because I just feel like I've been convinced that, you know, cloud-based services are always the way to go, where you're using AWS or Microsoft's Azure or you're using Google's cloud platform, and they all offer like a SQLless solution.
Right.
But a lot of times you, especially when it comes to statistics and things like that. So with the podcasting, it's nice to see what people are subscribing to, what's trending. And so we ended up moving all of that to a MySQL solution that's just being hosted on our own server. And I think I like that strategy where you don't have to have everything on one platform, right? You could you can move parts of it. Again, I'm letting Amazon and Google take care of authentication and protecting the user data. But all those other kind of generic trends, and if you need to do a lot of statistics and crunch numbers, MySQL is still a fantastic solution for doing that. So, and that is very recent change, and hopefully you didn't even notice it happen. But we completely moved all the ranking and trending to our own server.
That's awesome. It's pretty smart. Pretty smart. Now, before we get out of here, I want to ask you one more thing that's sort of maybe a little bit off topic, but maybe two things. So looking at things today versus when you started in 2008, getting this app off the ground and getting this empire up and running, what excites you today when it comes to sitting down and developing apps versus umpteen years ago in 2008?
It's so much easier now because, you know, when I first started and you take the original iPhone, I was actually I wrote a video game for the original iPhone version 1.0. So you had to jailbreak your phone. You had to download this crazy toolkit. You had to do all this stuff to get a working app. And then, you know, iOS came out with 2.0 and they allowed for the App Store. And then they came out with Xcode, which is really good. So Xcode is really come a long way. And you kind of look at where Objective-C, which is still one of my least favorite languages, even though I've kind of learned to appreciate a little more. It's gotten better because of things like Arc, where you're not having to, and that's like reference counting of objects. So you're not having to keep track of all. And that was the problem early on, is we had so many memory leaks, unless you really knew what you're doing. So as the languages progressed, it's become more Java-like in a way where you're less concerned with reference counting and memory and you look at, and which even with Java, it became a huge issue when you're talking about Android 2.0 devices. And still today, like bitmaps, displaying bitmaps on Android, they cause, I would say, the majority of all of our crashes just because bitmaps take up so much memory. That's something that the iPhone has always been better at. I think the later Android devices are more comparable. So you
I think BlackBerry was the worst when it comes to memory leaks. Oh my goodness, it was so bad. You'd reboot.
I can confirm
phone
that.
Another hour.
Yes, it was horrific. So I really like programming more on these mobile devices. You're having to do a lot less workarounds. I mean, that still happens with some of these big, you know, operating system updates. You go, oh, iOS 13 broke one of our feed. They deprecated some. So you're constantly got to, you know, stay in front of it. But even with that, I mean, when I think back to the way it used to be, it's a lot easier now. Xcode has come a long way. Android Studio. I mean, we were using Eclipse initially, which was horrible when they ended up doing. I think it's forget the name of the product, but they ended up buying or leasing the Android Studio product. And that turned out to be really good. So like starting out today to make an Android app, to make an iOS app, it's just so much, such a better experience and a lot easier too.
Mm-hmm. And you still say iOS over Android from a development standpoint though today?
No, I mean, they're so close now that, as long as you're targeting Android 4.4 and above, which I think that's about to be deprecated soon. But initially it was a better experience on the iPhone. I think Android really fixed everything with version 6. And so, you know, that's when they fixed the runtime permissions with the operating system, which was just horrible. I mean, the fact that you had to agree to like 100 permissions at install time, that was just, you know, people were upset. They get they would get so angry about that. Well, why do you need location? Well, I don't unless you're, you know, putting GPS to it. It's, you know, so the runtime permissions were added in six. And so since then, it's just that's when it really got good. And then, yeah, it's I think they're both very similar platforms. So it really depends if you're targeting which devices are you targeting to. And right now, even with Xcode, I think 8.0 is the lowest you can target to now, which is a good platform. It's very solid. So we try to do most of our apps targeting 8 or 9 in iOS. And for Android, I think we still target 4.4 and 5.0. But it's become a lot easier to still support older devices as the time goes on.
Very nice. Very nice. And last question, and this has nothing to do with app development. Normally, I get the pleasure of meeting up with you and hanging out at CES. I don't know if I'll be able to catch you this year. But with CES coming down the road, what excites you in the world of consumer technology today? You know, you just a everyday regular consumer, you get up and you start to go to Amazon or what have you to start your shopping. What is it that you're looking for that just excites you?
Whew, what a tough question. Why would you do this to me? Nothing excites
me anymore.
What do I get excited about? You know, I like speakers now. I do like these assistants. I think I have one of these, you know, whether it's the Echo or the Google Assistant. I have them in almost every room of my house. And so I like having better speaker quality for music. So I really think at some point I'm just going to have, you know, more than one speaker in every room. And the whole being able to play things in stereo out of multiple speakers, I think that would be interesting. The thing is, Ant, we're at a pretty good place when it comes to technology. How much better are these phones going to get?
I always wonder about it because you can only do so much to innovate phones of today, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, it's like how many more lenses are they going to put on the iPhone? I mean, at some point, you know, it's good enough. And I do feel like, I mean, I'm still rocking an Android, you know, the Pixel 2 XL.
Uh-huh.
It's still a great device for me. And I still have an iPhone 6. And it's still very fast and runs great. So in terms of smartphones, I'm getting less excited about that.
Right.
And more excited about, you know, the voice-enabled products that are coming out.
Very nice. Very nice. Because you also don't want to hit light switches either. I get it.
I'm lazy. What can I say?
All right. Well, this has been a great, great time to sit down and chat with you, my friend. I really, really do appreciate you hopping in and allowing me to pick your brain a little bit and share the information about TM Soft and everything that you've done and how you're just trying to help millions of people sleep better at the click of a button on their phone. It's I really appreciate your time today, my man.
Well, thank you, Ant. And it's been a pleasure talking to you. And I hope it didn't come across as me just shilling a bunch of apps. I really want to help developers that are out there and give advice for that. And if anyone has any questions, I always love giving advice when it comes to the app world. I've been doing it for over 10 years now, so I've learned a few things.
Speaking arrangements, speaking engagements out there for developers. You have any of those scheduled?
Nothing coming up. Just hit me up on Twitter at Todd Moore if you have any questions, and I'd love to check out any apps you're working on, and I'm happy to give advice.
Outstanding. Outstanding. Thank you again, my man. I really appreciate you.
Thanks, Ant. Appreciate it, buddy.
All right. And Twit Army, I really do appreciate you all tuning in and checking out this week's episode of Triangulation and having me on the network. Continue to check us out each and every week on twit.tv. We go live at 11:30 a.m. Pacific, and I think that's 2:30 p.m. Eastern time on Fridays. So if you want to check us out live, hit live.twit.tv and hop into the chat room. I've seen them in there giving some awesome feedback throughout this episode. Thank you very much, chat room. And use your favorite podcast app and just hit that subscribe button and give us a follow. Heck, you can check out Todd's app, PlayaPod. Thank you all again. Appreciate y'all. Appreciate all of the support. And we will catch you all next week here on twit.tv and Triangulation. Take care.